Welcome to the Background Briefing podcast. Gambling is being transformed. Gambling techniques are permeating the world of games, including free online and mobile app games. Social casino games that mimic real slot machines are among the most popular, with no restrictions on children playing. This week, Anne Arnold investigates the convergence of gambling and gaming.
It's been one of the most popular mobile games in the world, Crossy Road. You have to get a series of colourful block-like characters, Scruffy Dog, Mad Bull, Unihorse and the rest, across a busy road, and a river, and a railway. If your character dies, you go again. Released late last year, it's a big hit with primary school age kids like Mika.
It's kind of addictive, kinda. I just like, it's so fast and you're always trying to get in between little gaps and like really fast fingers and all sorts of cool stuff. And you can collect coins and different things. Like, they have new versions. They have lots of little upgrades and you can get new characters. And there's some where... Oh. I just died. And I got a free gift as well. So I just got 50 coins.
Crossy Road went straight to number one in the family category charts in a dozen countries, including the US, Canada, France, Russia, and South Korea. Little known outside the gaming world is the fact that it's Australian made.
Another one! And another elephant! What is that? Is that a... What is that? Is that a beaver or oh no, a wombat? What? I'm not even reading it.
It was created by a Victorian duo calling themselves Hipster Whale. They've just won a coveted Apple Design Award in San Francisco.
Next up, a game from a classic genre. The winner is Crossy Road by Hipster Whale.
Based in Australia, Hipster Whale was founded by Matthew Hall and Andrew Sum. The game was popular from day one, but it really struck a chord in schoolyards around the world. Since launching,
in its first 90 days, the game reportedly made $10 million. There's a lot of buzz and a lot of pride. But for some observers, Crossy Road is not ideal child's play. Collecting characters in the game becomes a major focus for many younger players.
The only way to get those characters is to essentially gamble for them, using the coins, the virtual currency within the game, feed them into the gaming machine and pull the handle and see what you get.
Problem gambling therapist Ben Riley. While most players get their characters through the prize machine, as it's called, they can also purchase them directly with real money. But with Crossy Road's repetitive random chance and a children's version of a poker machine at its core, Ben Riley sees it as part of a growing trend. It's been little documented, but gambling or gambling ideas are permeating electronic games, video games, social media games, and mobile apps.
So I'm going to win a prize. Yeah, I just got a new one called the Grey Bunny. It might just be one that you've already got or one that you haven't got. Comes up with random ones.
Hello, this is Background Briefing and I'm Anne Arnold. There's an emerging screen culture of unregulated gambling for all ages. Lots of games that don't ostensibly have a gambling theme still have elements of it, imagery and concepts. Then there are social casino games, played with others online using virtual currency. Those games in particular form a lucrative and fast-growing mini-industry. Advertisements for both virtual and real online casinos are scattered throughout app games and social media.
I don't want the kids of today to become the problem gamblers of tomorrow, and our current legislative framework is simply outdated.
Anti-gambling campaigner Senator Nick Xenophon despairs that Australia's laws and the regulators are unable to meet the challenge.
The Interactive Gambling Act was passed in 2001. It's 14 years old. It may as well be 140 years old because the industry has been very clever in outsmarting regulators and the legislation.
There's a convergence of gambling and gaming. It's happening so quickly there's been little evaluation of it. Dr. Sally Gainsbury has led a groundbreaking research project.
This study is commissioned by Gambling Research Australia. It's looking at how social media, gaming and gambling are all converging. It's really transforming the nature of gambling in Australia.
The full report will be released by the federal government, but preliminary findings have been made available to Background Briefing. A cross-section of the Australian population was surveyed, over 1,500 adults and 560 adolescents. Most people were not affected by online gambling games and promotions. One third of the respondents had played social casino games with virtual currency in the past 12 months. Of the adults who'd played social casino games, one in five were prompted by that experience to gamble for real money. For young people, it was one in three who went on to actually gamble. Adolescents bet on the races or other sports and played pokies and casino-style card games. People who reported a high level of gambling problems were the most likely to say that their gambling had increased as a result of playing social casino games. Sally Gainsbury is a senior lecturer at the Centre for Gambling Education and Research at Southern Cross University. For this project, she led a team of researchers from several institutions in Australia and Canada.
This is the first study. In fact, it's the most comprehensive study that's been done worldwide. It took 3 years. It consisted of 8 different studies. So we've really looked at this issue across adults, across adolescents, to get a really comprehensive understanding of whether social media, gambling-themed games are impacting on how much people do gamble.
As well as social casino games, which are legal, the study looked at real casino sites online. These are hosted offshore and are not permitted in Australia, but they're still easily accessed. Sally Gainsbury says Australian legislation is ineffective in preventing illegal gambling sites, and the law has been outpaced by technological developments. The Interactive Gambling Act was drawn up before Facebook existed. The Act allows lotteries and wagering, such as sports betting. It bans the provision of all other online gambling. But the international online casino operators have so far been out of reach of Australian authorities.
There haven't been any sites prosecuted, which means Australians can access at any stage online casino sites, which include blackjack, poker, electronic gaming machines. There isn't actually anything stopping Australian residents from gambling on these sites, but it's highly ill-advised because, for example, if they do have a dispute, if they're cheated or frauded, there's nothing they can do to get their money back.
Beyond these more overt gambling options, there are more subtle mechanisms at play in the fast-moving world of games.
Simulation activated.
No, 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 yes! Yes! You're dead.
Simulation complete.
Nick Richardson is the presenter of the ABC's internet program Good Game Pocket, a daily update of game news and reviews. An ardent gamer, he's not happy about some of the techniques used by game developers to extract money out of players who've downloaded free or very cheap games. People are lured into paying to advance themselves within a game, and sometimes they're simply buying the chance to progress. It's a gamble.
It is worrying for me as a gamer of seeing how the industry is shifting towards those sorts of models that I go, it's like a second form of gambling. It doesn't necessarily need to lead you into the one where you're throwing your life savings away in a casino. It can lead you into one where you just constantly are getting these huge credit card debts because you are just paying a bunch of money for something that isn't a tangible experience.
Nick Richardson says in the games industry, there's a term for the people who are willing to make significant or frequent in-game purchases.
Most players will not put any money into these sort of games. But what developers are looking for are people called whales, who are the people who will sink $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month into a game because they just are getting in that loop.
It's no surprise to him that whales is also the gambling industry's term for big spenders.
It doesn't surprise me. They both work off the same sort of core idea of keeping you in an ecosystem in order to keep putting money into it.
Social casino games are providing a bonanza for their operators. The players get no payouts, ever.
Social casino games are based on a social network site or through a mobile app, but they're predominantly a gambling-themed game.
Sally Gainsbury from Southern Cross University.
These are things that look like slot machines. They look like poker or blackjack. They really look a lot like, and they're actually referred to as simulated gambling games. So in some cases, you can't tell the difference between these games and an actual gambling. But they also have really bright imagery, you know, bright colours. They often have youth themes, so they might have lots of baby animals within them. So a slot machine with baby animals and lots of gold coins. So they're very visually attractive and appealing.
If I go into the App Store and I actually look at this category called top grossing, so the games that have actually made the most money, we can see that the number one in Australia at the moment is an app called Heart of Vegas, Play Free Casino Slots.
Daniel Golding is a game reviewer and writer who lectures at Melbourne's Swinburne University. Heart of Vegas is free to download. The spending comes later.
It's a slot machine application where you pull the lever and the fruit rotates and you may or may not win. Now, of course, this being an app, you don't actually win anything. You don't get money out of this game, but you do have the option of putting money in. So if I look now at the list of in-app purchases, so the kinds of ways that you can put money into this game once you've downloaded it for free on your phone, we can see that it starts at, like, you can buy a package of 150,000 coins for $3.79, all the way up to the quite phenomenal, you can buy a package of 105 million coins for $129.99. That $129 purchase is the 8th out of 10 most popular purchase in this app. And so I think actually that is a real problem.
Game critic Dan Golding. Heart of Vegas is owned by Aristocrat. Aristocrat is an Australian company which makes many of the poker machines you see in pubs and clubs around the country. It now has a strong foothold in the American pokies market as well. Aristocrat announced a 73% revenue growth in the 6 months to March this year. In the company's latest annual report, the online portion of its business had the biggest increase on the previous year. The company attributed this to Heart of Vegas. Researcher Sally Gainsbury says the growth of the social casino sector has been spectacular.
There was a study a few years ago that estimated that social casino games are played by about 173 million people worldwide. They're hugely popular. It's a massive market.
It's also literally a money spinner.
The social casino game, and keep in mind these are free-to-play games, is a hugely lucrative market. And it's estimated these games will make $3.4 billion this year worldwide.
Some social casino games encourage you to become a VIP or a high roller by buying virtual credits. Social casino games are more lucrative than any of the other games you find on Facebook and other social media. And slot casino games are the most popular of all.
So slot casino games look a lot like a regular slot machine. And in fact, in many cases, the makers of slot machines, so including in Australia, companies like IGT and Aristocrat, that provide slot machines within gambling venues, they also provide free play versions of these that are social casino games. So the games look in some cases identical to the ones you'd see on the floor of a gambling venue.
Online games are a handy marketing tool for the gambling companies, and they can reach the punters of the future.
They're often used as a promotional tool for companies who want to promote their gambling games, but when they're social casino games, they're not age-restricted at all, so young people can access these slot machine games as well.
The Aristocrat company refused an interview request. Australians are especially inclined to spend money within these free games. Sally Gainsbury says they're twice as likely to pay up as players in other countries.
Although in most countries around 2% of players actually pay, in Australia it's closer to 4%.
In the Gambling Research Australia study, many social media players reported that virtual gambling was a safe alternative for them. They weren't gambling real money. But there's a concern that some people, especially younger people, will be misled by their success with virtual gambling.
The odds aren't always the same as in gambling, so often the odds are overinflated to make them fun, you're more likely to win.
The study found a subset of people thought their social gaming experience would make them more likely to be successful at real-world gambling. Sally Gainsbury says social casino games are based on algorithms that give you a greater chance at winning than actual gambling does.
So you might actually think that they're the same as gambling and then go to gamble and then find out that you lose a lot more than what you thought.
Other kinds of electronic games, which are not obviously associated with gambling, were not part of the gambling research project. But they too increasingly have elements of random chance. Players can spend either virtual money or real money in the hope of a reward that they may or may not get.
There's one card game, it has hero cards, and you can only get them from mystery boxes, and then they're like the really crazy cars and stuff, which are amazing, but it's not actually possible to get them.
13-year-old Arthur spent a lot of money trying to get those amazing cars from the mystery box. This was back when he was 11. He eventually wised up.
I just figured, you know, you can't get it. You don't see it on YouTube, you don't see them anywhere. It's just you can't get them.
You keep putting the money in hope.
I stopped after a while because there was no point.
Do you know how much you would have spent?
Hundreds, I guess.
Hundreds of dollars? Real dollars?
Yeah.
And how do you get the hundreds of dollars?
Well, you know, I'd ask my mum or my dad to pay for it. Over time, though, not at once. They wouldn't buy it like that.
This is called the freemium model, a free game with built-in but optional costs. Melbourne-based games critic Daniel Golding.
Now, this can be on a huge scale from the relatively benign, where, you know, you might just pay to unlock an extra character or something like that. It ranges from that to the relatively pernicious in some ways, where you might need to essentially pay to continue playing the game or to progress past a certain point, sort of once the game has started to get its hooks into you.
Because mobile games are often free, developers have to make money from them somehow.
Today, I'm going to be trying to get characters on Crossy Road. You can see I've got 46 out of 53. I've not bought any of them apart from the piggy bank, which I bought yesterday.
The creators of Crossy Road have been congratulated for their approach to the freemium model. Money is made by small purchases. You can buy characters, but they're not essential to advance in the game. The main revenue is from ads, which play before you can advance in the game. But there are no gambling or social casino ads. They pay very well, but Crossy Road's creators say they don't allow them. With in-game purchases, also, it was important to Matt Hall, one of the developers, to not be exploitative.
With free-to-play games, there is somewhat of a, you know, the starting to develop a stigma, like people are beginning to see through them a little bit and understand the tricks that they're employing. There was quite a famous episode of South Park 3 months ago where they dissected the free-to-play market and exposed it for all to see.
Rebuild Canada. Click to build a hospital here. Yay!
It's still stupid, and now I paid 49 cents for it.
What are you two boners doing?
We're playing the Terry and Phillip freemium game.
I played that thing. It's f***ing dumb. I ended up paying like $5.
Who makes this crap?
And I think people are slowly becoming wary of that. And we took a very different approach with monetization, as in getting people to pay for things within the game. We only sell characters for somewhere between 99 cents or $3.99. There's no big $99 transactions in our game, and people seem to really appreciate that and in that way they were happier to share Crossy Road with their friends.
Within a week of launching last November, Crossy Road had had more than 2.5 million downloads.
We were trying to work out what it was, and then we realised it was Monday and all the school kids were starting to play it and talk about it in the schoolyard. From there, it just went up and up and up.
And was that in Australia or around the world?
All around the world, yep.
The characters are quirky and appealing, but most players don't buy them. They prefer to earn or win virtual coins in the game, which they put into a prize machine in the hope of getting a character they want.
So you know when I've got a new character because it says new at the bottom. So here you can see it says try again. That's because it's not a new character. Oh, what is it with bunnies?
That's Jack. One of the many reasons for Crossy Road's success is the YouTube phenomenon of Let's Play, where game players film their own screens and narrate their moves. Part of Crossy Road's appeal to adults is nostalgia. It looks like and has a similar road crossing theme to a popular 1980s game called Frogger.
I had a little bit of a play of the game myself and it all looked pretty benign and reminded me of my old Frogger days.
Ben Riley works at South Australia's statewide gambling therapy service, where he's a cognitive behavioural therapist. He's also doing a PhD on gambling problems. At home, he monitors pretty closely what his two young daughters have access to on their screens. But he says Crossy Road caught him out.
It was one Sunday evening I was rinsing toothbrushes in the bathroom and I heard these familiar sounds to me in their bedrooms. They share a bedroom and I heard the clear sound of what sounded like a poker machine, a gaming machine. And I walked into the young one, she was six at the time, had a look on her iPad, was a full-sized image of a, looked like a one-armed bandit. And she was pushing a button and pulling the handle and it made all these noises that sounded just like a poker machine. Well, she called it a prize machine. That's what the game refers to it as. Pull the handle and then it randomly distributes a little prize. So that's the reward.
Try again. I'm not getting very lucky here, guys. Try again. Okay, I've spent 500 coins now. See, spent 500 coins, not got anyone I need. Try again, really?
The prize machine, has anyone suggested to you or are you conscious that it looks like and sounds like a slot machine, a poker machine?
Exactly.
Crossy Road developer Matt Hall.
We made it look like a slot machine so that people knew that this part of the game, this is the grey area part of the game, yeah. But we wanted to be very upfront with it so that people knew exactly what they were seeing.
And are you comfortable with kids using a virtual slot machine?
That's an excellent question. We wanted to make sure that the prize machine, you know, doesn't give out money. It's just like those gacha machines, you know, those little toy machines where you put your coin in and a prize pops out. That's probably a closer analogy.
You hear the tumbling coins.
Yeah, but then the prize pops out, of course, yeah. No, I'm a parent myself. I have a six-year-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old. I'm very conscious of that. Like, I really do not like gambling. I do not gamble myself, for example. So the idea in this was not to promote gambling, but to use that visual as a way of informing the player, the parent and the kid, exactly what's going on there. Yep.
A therapist who works in a gambling treatment centre in Adelaide, who's also a father, he's got two young daughters, says his girls have been totally hooked on Crossy Road.
Right.
And he was pretty annoyed, though, when he heard the sounds of a poker machine, he thought, coming from his six-year-old daughter's iPad.
Right, yeah. I've had no complaints about that come through. Like, we have a very open, you know, email line. The support system is very easy to get to. We've actually had no complaints from parents, believe it or not.
Right, come on, chicken. Come on, lucky chicken. Try again. Come on. my goodness. I needed him, now I get him twice. Wow. Come on, chicken. Yay! Someone new.
The Game Developers Association of Australia contacted Background Briefing concerned about the way Crossy Road may be portrayed in this program. The CEO of the association, Tony Reid, said there are other games which use much more literal gambling techniques. He suggested the Crossy Road prize machine was more akin to a machine filled with toys in a shopping arcade, where you put coins in the slot and get a random selection. I put that to gambling treatment therapist Ben Riley in Adelaide.
I would argue that that too is a form of gambling. Unlike the arcade, a parent might feed a coin in and allow their child to get a chocolate bar or a little fluffy toy or whatever it might be. That's one dose of a random outcome, or one dose of a gamble, if you like. With the Crossy Road game, there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of doses within a pretty short period. So while the child's sitting there playing the game, they're continually interacting with this simulated gambling type game. The exposure to it is a lot different.
While Ben Riley sees Crossy Road as the thin edge of the wedge, other games he's encountered have more overt gambling devices. He saw an adult client last year who was referred with an apparent addiction to the Castle Clash game. Castle Clash is a multiplayer online game.
Our first response was, well, it's not our area. We work with gambling, not gaming. And the person said, yes, informed us that they'd lost some $20,000 in the previous 6 months.
Ben Riley says that in Castle Clash, players use the virtual currency of gems to gamble on a rolling screen similar to a poker machine. The man had spent $20,000 on gems.
Those gems were used to spin it's like a virtual slot machine, and the characters would all tumble around and then you would win a certain character. And this was the part of the game that this particular individual became addicted to. So he was addicted to the game itself, but also the gambling element within the game. If you end up with a character that you don't want, you don't get the currency back, you don't get your money back, you have to go again, just like in the real world gambling. So he met criteria for both the gaming disorder, so addiction with the computer game, but also the gambling disorder.
This extraction of a vulnerable player's money while they're in the vortex of a game concerns Nick Richardson, the presenter of Good Game Pocket.
There's a corruption of the games that we like, and some big franchises have started releasing games that have elements within them that you need to pay for to unlock more of, but you've already bought the game up front. So that's bringing in that microtransaction idea about, I've already paid $60 for this game, why now do I need to pay another $15 to unlock more content within it? And it's also just a really bad image. The gaming industry is constantly dealing with image from people who don't play games and a lot of people who don't understand them. And this image of it being sort of like gambling is not something that's particularly helpful to gaming being accepted.
Why are the gambling elements there? Cognitive behaviour therapist Ben Riley.
We know one of the most powerful forms of conditioning is what we call random reinforcement or intermittent scheduling. So I guess if you build an activity within a game that is based on chance, that has that random element, it could potentially hook people in and make it difficult for them to stop playing, or they'll play it to excess.
There's not yet conclusive evidence about the connection between problems with game playing and gambling. But Background Briefing has talked to health and youth workers who say they see obvious overlaps within a vulnerable population. Some services are either beginning to treat people for both issues or educating young people about the risks.
Post-apocalyptic survival game, it's called The Fifth Day. Survive as a robot in a heap of other robots in a post-apocalyptic world. You craft weapons to defend yourself and find ammunition, and you can be detected by the enemy bots because of your radiation, and you can use solar panels as well if you don't want to be seen.
13-year-old Arthur in Melbourne has been attending a computer group for young people organised by Headspace, the mental health service.
I guess, yeah, it's a bit of an addiction.
Does it stop you doing things like going to school or anything else that you should be doing?
Well, I bet it stopped me going to school. I was also having quite a hard time at school, but I haven't really been taking care of myself much.
You haven't been taking care of yourself?
Not that well, no, not really.
What do you mean by that? What aren't you doing?
Well, a lot of the time, like, I haven't been taking a shower or brushing my teeth and just simple things.
When he's on social media and mobile phone games, Arthur often sees ads for gambling and virtual gambling in games like Temple Run.
You know, like, you'll die in the games, I guess, like ones like Temple Run and stuff, where you have to run, and if you die, like, you can watch an ad to get a second life and do it again, like, just once. A lot of the time they are gambling ads in that game, though. And I know they're gambling games because it shows pictures of slots and saying you win and you win and you win.
Arthur's father, Danny, has made a point of alerting his son to gambling risks.
Ever since he was young, we've had lots of discussions around gambling and gambling games, and because we had a relative who was a heavy gambler and I grew up learning about it, and it was one of my hopes that he wouldn't become a gambler.
Not all young people have had those warnings.
I just wonder about children who are out there who haven't got parents who are telling them about this. And I guess also that I didn't realise that these gambling games were there for children and available to them. You know, because I'm a parent who, you know, like, I look at what he plays and I'm interested to see, but I don't follow it all the time and I don't know that these things are there.
The new Gambling Research Australia study found young people were particularly susceptible to gambling promotions. Overall, 1 in 10 people said they gambled more as a result of seeing social media promotions. The researchers analysed the Facebook page of a 35-year-old male. Lead researcher Sally Gainsbury.
We did a case study where we had a 35-year-old male look at his Facebook profile and capture the different types of ads he saw. And he found a number of ads for gambling-themed games, as well as illegal gambling sites and legal gambling sites. The illegal sites often had Australian cash in them. They were targeting Australian users. They had these sort of fake users saying, oh, I've won $10,000. It's so easy. You should join up and click here to get straight to the site. They were very appealing and really looked at the winnings you could have and really pressured people into joining these sites.
Sally Gainsbury says Australian law enforcement agencies seem unable to stop the ads. That's down to Facebook to control the advertising of what are, in Australia, illegal online casinos.
Essentially, they're provided through Facebook, which is a global company. They have an Australian office, but how to get Facebook to stop displaying these ads, it's difficult. And very little action appears to be taken, which means that Australians are being exposed to these ads and they can click through and start gambling on them. This includes young people as well.
A Facebook spokeswoman said Facebook prohibits gambling ads where it's illegal. In a written statement, she said, "We require all gambling companies who intend to advertise with us to go through a vetting process where we review their gambling licence and compliance with local laws." In Australia, there are restrictions for gambling advertisements on billboards or television, but on social media, the rules are often not applied. Sally Gainsbury.
We did an audit of social media sites used by Australian gambling operators, and we found that the vast majority of posts did not have any responsible gambling warning, and many of the Facebook profiles didn't actually mention responsible gambling, or this was hidden away under some sort of drill down menu.
Bet with coins to win on real races. Every major Australian horse race. Pick a race in seconds. Rank the field with auto slide or change the sliders yourself. Test against your past races. Learn how to gamble on horses without losing your money.
Okay, real races, real betting, play money.
Gee up!
When it comes to virtual gambling, one new game app ups the ante, according to Senator Nick Xenophon.
When I was told about GUP, I couldn't believe that it had been allowed on the marketplace. It's a free app, and when I open it up, you can make a simulated bet on any horse, harness or greyhound race in the country in real time.
GUP is an Australian product. Senator Xenophon was alerted to GUP earlier this year. He believed the ease of use and the graphics, some of which have since been changed, made it accessible and available to children.
I think that this is an insidious app. It actually pushes gambling onto kids because there doesn't appear to be any age limit for this app, because under our current bookmaking and gambling laws, because real money isn't actually involved, it doesn't appear to be illegal. Apps like GUP can condition kids, habituate them to take up gambling. It normalises gambling behaviour. The fact that these sorts of apps make it appear very easy for kids to think that gambling is a harmless pursuit, and as soon as they turn 18, they can open up an account with a betting agency and start using real money automatically without any barriers.
Nick Xenophon wants the Interactive Gambling Act amended to close what he sees as a loophole, which allows games that use virtual currency to be not classified as gambling. GUP goes beyond the virtual. It has a link to Classic Bet, which is a betting company. In the app, you can click on either CoinBet for virtual gambling, or right next to it, CashBet to go through to real betting. GUP's Michael Castleman told Background Briefing that children's access to his app is a shared responsibility between parents and his company, but he didn't elaborate. The race betting app's blurb is "Learn a skill for life." Senator Nick Xenophon is not impressed.
It's in the interests of betting agencies to hook up with these seemingly harmless kids' games, these virtual gambling apps, because there's a clear symbiotic relationship between the two.
The monitoring and regulation of game and app content falls between cracks in the regulatory system, which at this stage is lagging behind creative and technological developments. The chief responsibility for electronic media content sits with ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which, as Sally Gainsbury said earlier, has never prosecuted illegal offshore gambling sites. Background Briefing requested an interview with ACMA, which was declined. So who's watching the apps? Nick Xenophon says that with such a regulatory vacuum, it's the electronic stores that sell apps that need to show corporate responsibility.
Apple iTunes and Google Play can't ignore the fact that many of their customers are being hurt by these apps, either directly or indirectly. Directly through spending up big on virtual credits, and indirectly by being conditioned and introduced to real forms of gambling, betting agencies where people can lose their pay packets, lose an enormous amount of money very quickly. So I think that Google Play and Apple iTunes simply saying that we comply with current laws really doesn't sit well with their corporate ethos of being socially responsible, but maybe they need to be encouraged with some legislative change to make this happen.
Background Briefing sought comment from both Google and Apple. There was no response from Apple. A Google spokesman cited policy that said, "We don't allow content that facilitates online gambling." That included sports betting. GUP is not available in the Google Play Store. If you or anyone you know needs assistance with a gambling problem, you can get 24-hour help from the National Gambling Helpline. Phone 1800 858 858. Background Briefing's coordinating producer is Linda McGuinness. Research by Lawrence Bull. Technical production by Martin Peralta. The executive producer is Chris Bullock, and I'm Anne Arnold.
If you want to follow Background Briefing on Twitter to get story updates and other news, the team's handle is @RNBBING.